The Closers. Join the talk now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Hey, welcome back to The Closers here. We've spent the last couple of minutes polishing up the crystal ball. And hopefully it'll allow us to see that which will happen on Wednesday, February 1st, National Letter of Intent signing day for Missouri Tiger football. And I'm George Young. Jay Sparks alongside.
Howdy.
And happy to be joined from PowerMizzou.com. Ryan Austin, we've had a couple of Mondays off, so we haven't gotten the full one-month run-up to National Letter of Intent signing day. How much pressure is there on somebody who's covering this to discern the will of an 18-year-old?
A little bit. I mean, you have people that are paying a little bit of money to get information from mm-hmm. you, so you want to make sure you're taking care of them and getting as much information as you can. But, I mean, I feel like we do about the best job out there covering Mizzou recruiting, so just keep on doing what we're doing.
Well, and it has worked out well. It's a great site if you haven't been over there. We'll visit with Gabe actually tomorrow here on the program, a little more of a global thing. But recruiting is kind of your ballywhack. That's where you got your chops over there at PowerMizzou.com. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because I don't think I've seen, mine is kind of short term. It's more of like a 5-year block here. The huge concentration on we have got to get and increase our depth on the defensive line of the football. Have you ever run through a recruiting cycle like what we're seeing right now where it's D-line? Get them.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Not that I can remember, especially not – it's so concentrated, especially at defensive tackle mm-hmm. right now. They're really going hard. They already picked up a junior college commit from Rashad Brandon, and they're looking to add two more junior college defensive tackles in Malik Young and Walter Palmore, and then maybe hopefully a high school defensive tackle. They got a few out there. One's visiting this weekend, Jalen Twelman, and then they've had Caleb Sampson visit before, and there's some other guys out there that could turn into targets. With the guys that they lost, with Charles Harris going and Josh Augusta and Ricky Hatley, it was just a definite need position, and they didn't really have great depth there last year to begin with, and then you got Terry Beckner coming off an injury. You got Markel Etsy coming mm-hmm. off an injury. It's definitely the position of need for them right now.
You know, as you look at this, there's still guys out there, whittling their list that are still defensive line guys. I know today the Photoshop for Zion, and I'll probably mess up his last name, DeBose, came out, with Mizzou in that top four. And those are four solid programs. It's not right. like, you know, so, you know, as this class rounds into shape, still pulling in defensive line guys.
Right. Yeah. And I forgot to mention they have Chris Turner from Louisiana committed already too. He's a defensive end. Yeah. They're definitely, they're focusing on D tackle because that's where the biggest need is, but they're looking to improve all over the D line and add quite a bit of depth there.
New guy on the block, Brick Haley coming in. I mean, first off, you got to get past that first name and just the awestruck moment that you got a D-line coach. His name is Brick. So you check that box off. Great name. And he seems like a high-energy guy, and he kind of had to be because he has to hit the ground running. What's been the impact of getting somebody like him in from Texas?
Well, there's been people talking about it already. We're just talking about the 2017 class right mm-hmm. now, but the 2018 class in Missouri on the defensive line is the best probably that I can think of in the rivals era, which goes back about 15 years or so. Okay. When you got Trevor Trout, Ronnie Perkins, Michael Thompson, Daniel Parker, John Graves, I mean, I'm probably missing somebody, but there's legitimately five guys on the defensive line.
The fact that you did that without notes is right. impressive.
and I know I specifically talked to Ronnie Perkins about this. He had an hour-long phone conversation with Coach Haley once the dead period for mm-hmm. the holidays ended. He said he really liked what Coach Haley had to say. I know that a lot of the players, Trevor Trout was talking about how he talked to coaches in St. Louis about Coach Haley and heard nothing but good things from them about him. He was down in Louisiana, Coach Haley was, right after the dead period ended, to see Caleb Sampson. He's been down there to see a defensive tackle that I'm drawing a blank on his name right now that they offered recently also. So, I mean, he's hit the ground running. He's got down there. He's getting out. I mean, they know they need these guys. They know next year's a big deal. They know this class, that's the primary focus to finish up. So he's going to be a busy man the next couple weeks.
Mm-hmm. Ryan Austin with us here on The Closers. You can find him on Twitter, at BT Austin. You can also find the work on PowerMizzou.com. Barry Odom's second recruiting class. I mean, the first one kind of seemed to, and I think at the end of it, if you get an honest moment out of him, would say, yeah, it was kind of a slapdash effort. We thought we had holes. We filled what we thought we could, mm-hmm. and we sallied forth and went on. How is this year different than what folks saw last year on some of the recruiting announcements in the news?
Yeah, well, definitely having that time, being able to get out there and establish those relationships, and then having a product on the field that people were able to see. I mean, it wasn't the best year for Missouri, but they were the offense. They were able to see some things that the receivers are like, and they're able to say, hey, this is an offense that I can get into and catch some balls, score some points. And then also, I mean, even though last year's class is kind of put together late, they got some guys that made impacts as freshmen. Demaria Crockett did, Demetrius Mason did. Both those guys were late ads. So, I mean, I think people are starting to see that recruits are starting to see that there's something there, especially on the offensive side. I think now the next thing that Missouri has to do is take that step and get that defense back to where it was a couple of years ago, so that way they can take advantage and maybe that, like I said, mentioned earlier, the 2018 class in state, their defensive line is huge, so they need to do something to kind of get those guys to where they'll jump on board.
You mentioned those freshmen who did make a big splash, and continuing to gain defensive linemen in this class as freshmen, where you say it's thin, is playing freshmen. I know it was something that Coach Pinkel was very reluctant to do. It was something that he kind of, it was a last ditch thing. I mean, if he had a sophomore or a junior, even if they were farther down the chart, he would try to get them ahead of those freshmen and keep them, you know.
Right.
But is that something that Coach Odom's way more open to, in the sense of, if you're the best guy for the job, I don't care what your class designation is, you're going to go?
Right. It definitely seems like that. I mean, every coach tells high school kids that they're going to come in and they're going to get a fair shake and get a chance to play.
Sure.
But it never quite seemed to work out that like that. I mean, I'm not saying anybody was lying to anybody. There's definitely a little bit, the scale was tipped a little bit towards the upperclassmen for Coach Pinkel, and with Coach Odom, it doesn't seem like that's the case. It definitely seems like it's you come in, and whoever we think's best, that's who's playing. It doesn't have anything to do with anything else other than who we think's the best player.
One last global question, and then we'll take a quick little step aside and come back, and we'll talk a little bit more specifically about some of the guys that are on this recruiting class right now. Verbal, again, remember, this is verbal. This is speed dating for high school kids, which sounds like nothing could possibly go wrong with this one. You mentioned the dead period and all of that. It kind of it's a chance for the kids and for the coaching staffs to get their ducks in a row. How much real, perceived, imagined, whatever, is the alleged rift from Coach Sunkett at East St. Louis and Missouri football?
Yeah, well, I think it's mostly alleged right now. We were told that Coach Odom was in there right after the dead period, had a good talk with Coach Sunkett. I mean, Rayon DeSestis is still committed to Missouri. It's kind of up in the air right now whether he'll end up signing with them. Mm-hmm. He's not visiting this week, and he hasn't visited yet, so he's either visiting this last weekend or he's been to Missouri enough to where he actually wouldn't need to visit to end up signing with Missouri. But I think it's just one of those things that's kind of snowballed, and people in this day and age, how little things just kind of catch fire and then get going. It's kind of like that gun comment the Coach Odom had over during the media days. I mean, it's been made much ado, I wouldn't say about nothing, but it's not as big of a deal as what people were making it out to be.
What gun comment? No, just kidding. That was a week of explaining, then re-explaining on that particular one. All right. What we're going to do is we're going to take a quick little step aside, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk a little bit more specifically about some of these recruits. Brian Austin mentioning Ray Estes in there, quarterback from East St. Louis. He has verbally committed. But what about some of the other guys? We'll talk about that right after this.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Yeah, welcome back to The Closers here. I'm George Young. Jay Sparks alongside. Happy to be joined by PowerMizzou.com's Brian Austin. We're talking Missouri Tiger recruiting. 442-8255 is the phone number. Most impressive thing so far about Brian is he's rattling off names without the notes. I have the names in front of me now, so I can ask about some of these guys. Let's start first with, you know, when they have these different designations, a guy like Deron Davis, four-star, but athlete. Is that because while they may have recruited him for a specific position, like, he could help us in a number of different areas?
Right. In Deron's case, he when he was at Hogan Prep, he played running back mostly, just so they could get him the ball as much as possible. But he always projected more as a wide receiver. So when it's a case like that, they list him at athlete. When he transferred to Lee Summit North for his senior season, he played exclusively wide receiver. I think they just felt like he could play running back in college if he really wanted to. He's that kind of athlete, so they just left him as an athlete. Yeah, that's kind of it. And sometimes there's guys that could play both sides of the ball, either cornerback or wide receiver, kind of leave them as athletes. It's just guys that you're not exactly for sure what position they're going to play in college.
Best name on this recruiting list so far is Jafar Armstrong. I keep, you have
Bishop Meege.
Disney movie flashbacks with Jafar. But a wide receiver, that's an area that a lot of people are critical of, especially with what happened this past season. The numbers were there, but so weren't all the drops. They continue to recruit guys, but what's the difference, Brian, between a guy who looks like great on a huddle film, but as soon as he breaks the huddle, you realize he left his thumbs in his pockets?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. I guess if I was real good at answering that, I'd probably be working for Coach Odom.
Right.
But I don't know.
Now's your chance.
With Jafar, it's just whenever you watch him in person, he's just able to go up and really grab the ball with his hands. He doesn't let it get into his body. He doesn't trap it in his stomach or anything in his chest. He goes up and grabs it with two hands, and then he just, like, people are trying to knock it out, break it away, they're not able to. He's just real strong hands. Deron Davis is the same way. I know Elijah Gardner's a guy they added a little bit later, lesser known from East Texas, that Ohio State starting to send recruiting graphics to. Texas was getting involved with him. Coach Herman came and visited the school. He's maintained that he's solid to Mizzou, but I think with Missouri, they're just looking at these guys that they think are big and strong. That's the kind of wide receivers that they're wanting on the outside, and then maybe a few smaller guys, quicker guys like Jonathan Johnson playing the slot to kind of mix it up a little bit.
You know, the front of the magazine, the headline position is always quarterback. And for all of the quarterback pipeline that Mizzou has been pretty quiet for a couple years since Drew committed.
Right.
You know, is this a thing where now they're going to have to start churning that machine again and trying to get their fingers dirty and get back into dredging up some more quarterbacks?
Yeah. I mean, after the 2016 recruiting class, the coaches were talking about they wanted to get a big time quarterback in this class, and I just, whatever reason, they weren't able to hone in on one. Rondus Est is a very talented player in his own right, just doesn't quite have the panache behind the name recognition, all that kind of stuff that some of these other guys that they had offered and were recruiting really hard and just weren't able to land. It's tough. They're not losing guys to Purdue or to, I don't know, other smaller schools. I mean, they're getting beat out. They're offering guys and trying to land guys that are going to Clemson or going to Alabama, that are going to Michigan. So, I mean, it's tough sledding.
Sure.
Most of these guys, I'm thinking back, the guys that they got that are big name quarterbacks were in state, obviously. Drew Locke, Blaine Gabbert are the two that really come to. Chase Daniel ended up being really, really good, but he wasn't that highly recruited out of Texas. Texas never offered him, as a lot of people know. So maybe that's the key. There was a big-time quarterback coming up in the state of Missouri that hasn't been since Drew at that level. There's been some really talented guys, but just not quite there. I know 2018 is going to be another year where they're looking to add somebody that's a little bit bigger name. They've got a quarterback, Alabama, that's coming in. I believe it's this weekend or maybe next weekend, that they're hoping they can lock up early and get that guy that's going to be the quarterback, the face of the class, and help him bring in receivers, running back, offensive lineman. Once you have that guy and they know they've got somebody they can play with that's talented, it helps the whole class.
Yeah.
Interesting story behind a guy like Pompey Coleman. I mean, he's you know, an early enrollee, but somebody who broke a leg and everybody kind of went scattered to the five wins on him. Missouri sticks by it. Is that something that as a staff you can use later when a guy, you know, you really want it and maybe something happens or something along that line that Missouri will stick by you? Is that a selling point?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I'm sure they'll have any recruit that comes in, they'll have Pompey talk to him and let him know, hey, this was my experience. This is what Missouri did. I had this. He got hurt the second game of his senior season and played the rest of the year. And a pretty serious leg break, but it sounds like he's healing up all right now. But that's definitely a selling point. That's something that I think it seems like, in my experience watching, the team that has – if a team has a commitment, they usually honor it. So most teams will be able to say it. It's the other teams that don't have the commitments. They're usually the ones that are kind of like, well, we're not going to push real hard to recruit this guy now that he's got all this stuff going on. But with that being said, it definitely is something that you can let kids know that if you commit to something happens, we're going to take care of you. We're not going to leave you in the lurch. We're not going to – what was it? Connecticut or Rutgers or some school up east just pulled an offer from a kid that had been committed for months and months and months. And you hear about that all the time. Even guys that Missouri just decides they offered and maybe something happened and they don't think they're a fit anymore. They're not just going to pull a scholarship and say, hey, you're gone. They're going to work with the kid and help them try to find a school. And then once that happens, they'll either the kid will decommit and say it was his choice and stuff like that. I mean, there's a little PR game that goes into all that. So no one's looking bad. No one's feelings are getting hurt and no one's stuck left out with 2 weeks to signing day and no school in their future.
Visits coming up this weekend. There's several coming to campus, including a couple that are undecided right now. Jalen Twyman, defensive tackle, 6'2", 300 bills. And then also safety Tyree Gillespie, 6'1", 200 pounds. If you are bringing these two on campus, What's your strategy involved in this?
Well, with Twyman, it's pretty. I mean, easy. There's playing time there. Mm-hmm. We got AJ Logan coming back. We got Terry Beckner and Mark Eletzi coming off injury, and then a JUCO guy coming in. And then other than that, there's going to be a chance for you to come in there. You're going to be competing with Tyrell Jacobs. See what happens with Josh Moore if he puts weight back on to get onto the field. So that's going to be the pitch for him, I'm sure. They're going to get some pretty big schools for him. I'm thinking Pitt and South Carolina, maybe Virginia Tech, some schools like that. He's a Washington, D.C. kid, so not an area they recruit a lot. With Gillespie, we've actually been told that this is kind of the reverse, Deron Davis. He's listed as a safety, but Missouri likes him as an athlete. They're not for sure where they're playing him right now. He could be a defensive back, cornerback, or wide receiver, or some guy that fits into the offense that's able to – that turns into – similar to Demetrius Mason. They weren't for sure where they were going to play him and got him on campus, ran him around a little bit, and decided wide receiver was best for him. So I think with him, it sounds like the pitch is going to be like, we think you're a talented player. We're not sure where we're going to play you. We're going to give you a chance to come in here, try some stuff out, see where you fit best, and then look what happened with Demetrius Mason, this same kind of deal. Came in, underknown, two-star recruit, and he played as a freshman, was SEC All-Conference as a true freshman.
Question about Adam Sparks. How is Mizzou going to draft or recruit a Sparks and have him be tiny? There's no way I can wear that game-worn jersey ever. I'm going to have to give it to my kids. Secondly, though, he seems like Adam, especially, and some of the others, there's this cool social media kind of crew of these Mizzou recruits who they post their stuff that they're getting from other schools, but then immediately follow it back up with you know, Mizzou family, you know, class 17.
Right. Show me 17.
Yeah. And like, you know, and those kind of things. And, you know, what's that crew kind of mean to the coaching staff and this whole process?
Yeah, it means a lot. And I know Jamal Brooks is kind of the leader of that group. It's him, Jafar Armstrong, Deron Davis, a little bit Pompey, Larry Boyne. I mean, like you said, it's pretty much every one of them. I think you could easily it's easier to talk about the guys who don't do it as much. Case Cook's not quite as active on there. Hyron White's one of the quietest kids you'll ever come across in recruiting. And there's a few others like that, but mostly it's guys that are on there showing appreciation for some late offers. I know Jafar Armstrong did the same thing when he picked up the Notre Dame offer the other day. Then he got a Baylor offer on top of that. So it's just they've been building this bond for so long, and they're so close-knit. It just shows that I think even more maybe than the coaches, it means a lot to the fans, because it shows them that, like, okay, it's going to be all right. These guys aren't going to leave us in the lurch in the last minute, and the fans kind of appreciate that. And that's going to be something that this class can build on whenever there are players here. There's always certain players that fans just kind of like a little bit more than other guys, not for any like particular reason. All the guys on the football team are pretty much good guys, but just something about the way they interact on Twitter, the way they do things. It seems like this class is going to be full of guys that the fans are just really going to love.
Ryan also with us here on the close, and we're ready to wrap this up. By the way, Adam Sparks, 6 foot, 175 pounds.
That was like eighth grade for me.
His hair is a lot taller than yours.
Yeah, I guess with his hair, it might be close.
Yeah.
That still doesn't help him. That doesn't help in the shoulders, though.
I'm just trying. Well, you'd have broad shoulders. It's from everybody jumping on. I'm just trying.
That is a weight from last spring, so maybe he's added a few pounds since then. Okay. You never know. All
right. He's going to have to add like an eighth grade DB for me to be able to wear that.
Where's he got to be for you? Where's he got to be?
D-line?
Okay. All right. Okay. The number is 25. That's what they're going to be allowed to sign this particular recruiting phase.
That's minus three that are coming in the early period. So I guess it would be 28 technically. Like,
okay.
As far as what we keep track of, it'd be 28. But since they signed mid-year, they get to roll them back to this 2016 class, which didn't get to 25, and then they could take another 25. It sounds like maybe the momentum's not there anymore for them to get to 25.
Okay.
I don't know, or 28, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
There was some talk that this weekend was going to be a little bit bigger than what it ended up being. We'll see. You never know. There's only one more weekend left, the 27th after this. So they're at 21 right now. You're talking about adding seven more uncommitted guys. They only have two uncommitted guys coming in this weekend, and you never know if you're going to land both of them. There's Walter Palomar, Malik Young looking to come in next week. So, I mean, they're going to have to get some guys are going to have to merge here late that we haven't really been hearing about to kind of get to that number, but it could happen. These staffs, they get paid a lot of money to keep stuff under wraps and to recruit these guys and get guys that are under the radar. I mean, Charles Harris we talked about earlier.
Right.
I mean, he was a signing day special. I remember calling Pete Scannelberry and saying, "Hey, have you ever heard of this guy before? They just announced him on signing day." And Pete's like, "Who?"
Which and is quickly, amazing because as much as Pete
right,
and you
yeah,
guys
exactly,
covered
as
that,
good
so.
As Pete was. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So
much like Steve Moore, when we ask him who Tom Wheelahan is.
Yeah.
Who?
Yeah, that was a great piece. But okay, and this is kind of a yes-no question. You've seen Barry not only as a player, but as an assistant coach, a graduate assistant over in Memphis, and now here as the head coach. Does he strike you as the kind of guy that would roll the dice on a high school kid or a JUCO just to fill the quota?
No, not at all. It's going to have to be a fit. I wouldn't see him doing that at all.
Okay. That's probably a safe thing for the Mizzou fan base. I don't worry about some of that. Brian Austin, again, you check him out on Twitter at BT Austin is where you can find the tweets. You can also find the written word at powermizzou.com. We'll have him back here again next week in the 5 o'clock hour as we dip more into the recruiting, especially after this particular weekend. And we'll be right back. Brian, thank you much for time.
Oh,
man.
Yeah,
I
thank
really
you very much for having me.
You are absolutely welcome. We missed you doing this recruiting thing. We'll be right back. We've got more of the closers, and we'll wrap up hour number two. We'll do that right after this.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.